This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, and I am coming to you from the rainy rainforest. That's right, we do have one of those in North America, and I live in it, and so do you if you live in Seattle or maybe Portland or parts of Washington, even parts of Oregon. And I live in BC where Camp Good Dog is, and right now we do have a little bit of rain, but it cleared up briefly. So from the studio where I make the radio shows, I can see the puppy yard. And it happens to be spring break today. So the rain stopped. It's spring break. We have puppies. We have loads of doggy guests. And most of the doggy guests have kids at home who are now on vacation. So they're kid-friendly dogs. And we have staff who bring their kids. So this is one of those Kodak moment days where we have kids playing with guest dogs, kids playing with resident dogs, kids playing with foster dogs, and we need a drum roll for this, kids playing with puppies who are now almost 5 weeks old, 9 golden doodle puppies. So it's going to be an adorable day here at Camp Good Dog. And if you want to see what that looks like, you can go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook, or I have been posting videos of the puppies every day since they were about an hour old until yesterday. So you could go back and watch them at a day old, and then 2 days old, and then 3 days old, and so on and so on. You could see them open their eyes at about day 14, I think it was. They were a little late. And then you can see them start to crawl, and then you can see them start to wrestle, and then the first bark is there, and they're wrestling and they're tumbly, and but they're very clumsy and cute right now and slow and waddly and just really fun to watch. So check out Deb Wolf, Pet Expert, on YouTube. And we'll put some links in the show description in case you're looking for it. You don't know where to go. But I post lots of videos there, dog training, cat training. And if you send me a comment or a request, I will make a video. If you say, I'd like to see you teach a cat to do whatever, I will do it and I will film it. Or I'd like to see you get a barking dog to be quiet. I can do that. I can do all of it. It's actually really easy to train animals. Once you set up the relationship, the connection, the idea in the animal's head that you want something from it, and if it does that thing, a very simple, easy thing for it, it will get a reward. Once the animal understands that, you're done. Everything is possible. When the cat knows you've got the treat they want to eat, and it has to do whatever little silly thing you asked of it first, it'll just do it. It'll shake paw, it'll sit down, it'll twirl around your legs, it'll climb up, it'll do whatever you ask to get that little treat. And not necessarily because it's desperate for the treat. They actually like the interaction. They like to show you they understood. They like to be communicated with. They like to have tasks to do to earn these little things. I mean, in the wild, they wouldn't get a free meal. They'd have to scavenge it or hunt it or find it or discover it or free it, you know, like something stuck inside a shell, or, you know, they have to do a lot of work for their food. So they kind of crave that. Just like us, we don't like everything easy. You get bored on your second week of vacation if you don't do an excursion, right? Or a sport or something. You can't just do nothing. And cats and dogs are like that too. So they want little tasks to do. Okay, so speaking of little tasks, this kind of feeds into something I think is really funny, and I've noticed it over the years. Sometimes people tend to simplify animals. And I talked about this in a previous show about the 200-plus dolphins gathering outside California, several different species. And so what were the newscasters and the scientists saying? Oh, they must be feeding. Oh, they must be escaping predators, which to me is like, no. No, they don't need to gather in numbers like that for that. They're probably checking out the fire. They've probably smelled it and tasted it in the water. They're probably trying to find out what destruction humans are causing. Or maybe they're just having a meeting. Maybe they have these meetings all the time and we just don't know about it. I don't know, but they're smarter than us. And they're not just doing something very, very basic that wouldn't require a mass gathering. So another example of this is I've heard it often said that a woodpecker is stupid, stupid, because he can't tell the difference between a tree and a metal cap on a human-made pole. Well, that's not true. He could tell the difference. He's sharpening his beak and he's making a way louder sound. He knows the difference. If he's trying to get bugs out of a tree, he's going to go to a rotten tree. If he's trying to tell all the other woodpeckers and maybe the lady woodpeckers and maybe the rival woodpeckers that he's around, well, then he wants to rat-a-tat-tat and make it sound like he's a bigger, tougher bird. And besides that, if he does it in a certain way, he's going to sharpen his beak. So that's an example. Another one is an example of something not so much that people simplify, but something you might misunderstand in your own animal's behavior. So I used to work out on this elliptical, I still do. And if you know the machine, as you go forward with your right leg, your left arm comes back. And then the opposite, your left leg goes forward and your right arm comes back. And so the levers you're holding on to go forward and back, forward and back, forward and back. So your right arm's forward and then your left arm's forward. Well, when your right arm's forward, part of the machine goes forward and then slides back. So over and over and over again, there's this spot in front of the machine that's a little bit dicey. It's clear, and then there's a piece of machine there, and then it's clear, and then the other side's machine is there, and then it's clear. Okay, so I had this golden retriever, Sophie, and she was what I would call a fetchaholic. You know, like an alcoholic, but a very benign habit for a golden retriever. Fetchaholic. She would fetch till she dropped. You had to stop her. You couldn't just throw till she didn't want it anymore because there was no such thing with Sophie. And you know, you've met dogs like this. They just want to fetch. Okay. So she would take her ball and I would be on my elliptical doing my little workout, you know, 10K, do 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 do. And she would continually drop the ball right in this spot in front of the machine, where it's so dangerous, where you have to precision grab it to get it back. You have to time it just right between the two pieces of machine, right, left, right, left, right, grab, left, right, left, like that. And sometimes she would bonk her face. Most of the time, not though. Most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time or higher, she didn't bump. She got that ball. And I remember someone watching coming into the room and saying to me, "Why don't you just give that dog the ball? She's going to get hurt," you know, something like that. And I said, "Well, you can give it to her, but she's just going to put it back again." For Sophie, because I wasn't willing to throw fetch, this was a second choice, a precision game, a challenging retrieving game that she invented herself. It wasn't an accident that the ball was constantly placed in the most difficult place in the room to retrieve it from. And not only that, but a place where I would see it. I would see this skilled demonstration of retriever ability because then the golden retriever, they want you. They want the hunter to say, "Good job. Thank you for the duck." That's what they want. So she set up this whole thing to be very difficult and observed by me. And so you might have something going on like that in your house. Maybe think about it and see if you can find something that you think your dog is doing because he's clueless or stupid, but actually, that dog wasn't stupid. She didn't place the ball in the dumbest place in the house. No, she made the most challenging solo game there was going at the time. All right, we're gonna go to break and come back. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I know we think a lot right now about Ukraine and not going to talk politics, but I am going to give a salute to a Jack Russell dog who's working right now in mine sniffing. He's a mine sniffing Jack Russell who works in Ukraine for the State Emergency Service. And I saw footage of this dog. He's incredible. What a great task for a little dog like that. Easy to carry, easy to put in places, easy to feed and house and care for. Small, so easy to get out of the way of fire and danger. And also a tunneling dog. Perfect. A sniffing tunneling dog, a dog bred for years to find rats. The world record holder a couple hundred years ago in Ireland was a Jack Russell who killed 85. That's right, 85. Some say 90. There was a big debate after. Anyway, 85 rats. They would lock the dogs into a shed with a bunch of rats and leave them in there for a certain amount of time and let them out again. And it was a contest. And this dog killed 85 rats. He was the record holder. So intense bursts of energy. Able to track, able to hunt down, able to burrow, able to dig, able to sniff out rodents. These are the kind of skills you want in a mind-sniffing dog. So that's just great. His name is Eskimo, which is kind of a strange name for a Jack Russell. But I just want to give a shout out to the mind-sniffing dogs all over the world and their trainers that are doing such a good job, because you're not only keeping people safe in war-torn areas at the time of war, but like Lady Di used to try to shed light on, you're making the world safe forever after, because those mines stay in the ground and nobody knows where they are. And animals, wildlife, pets, children, people can all be harmed by them for generations to come, if not forever, until they're exploded or found. So this dog is doing a tremendous service. So well done, Eskimo. Your name may not be politically correct, but you are a good dog, my friend. All right, so I want to ask for some feedback here. I've had a few people asking me about collars, and I mentioned it a while back on the show, and that I asked for feedback, and instead of feedback, I got more questions. What I want to know is, have you used a collar that is designed to let your dog in and out of a pet door so that nobody else can go in? No raccoons, no neighbor cats, right? Only the pets wearing the collar. If you've used one of those and you found it helpful, please, please let me know. I want to know. I want a review of it. I want to know. Okay, so that was one question we had from a listener. And then we had another question about, because I got on the topic of collars and how I don't like shock collars and how I don't think that in almost all situations, there's some other substitute. So people were asking me, well, what are the substitutes? Okay, so there's a noise one, there's a vibration one, and there's a citron spray one. These are the three main choices if you don't want to cause pain to your dog, cause adrenaline in your dog, cause a fight-flight reaction in your dog that's instinctive, and then try and counter that with pain. If you don't want to do all that and change the nature of your animal, and you don't have to, then these collars might be the solution if you use them properly, if you use them with training. You don't just slap it on your dog. So, okay. So if you've used a lemon spray collar, citron spray collar, or you've used a vibration collar, or you've used one of the ones that has a beep, and sometimes they have all three or two. Some of the collars have two in one. So you start with the maximum, which is he gets a spray in the face every time he barks, and it vibrates and it beeps. And after the dog is trained not to bark at the next door neighbor who lives there, or the raccoon up a tree down the street, or whatever it is that he won't shut up about, and you've tried training and you're out there teaching him quiet. Okay, so after he's learned, you can scale back and get to the point where it just vibrates a little warning, or it just dings a little ding. So some of these have remote controls, some of them don't. They range in price from $40 to several hundred. And the reviews, of course, on Google are mostly done by people they know, or they're suspect. They have the same wording. It's very hard to tell a legit review nowadays. So I want to know, before I recommend anything, what works, what doesn't. I heard in the past, and this is 20 years ago, there used to be a dog who came here with a citron spray collar, and the problem was he would just drain it. He would just drain it. He would just bark and bark and bark and bark, bark, bark till it was empty. And then he knew it was empty. And the owners were spending a lot of money on these Citron spray things. So that was ineffective with that dog. And they didn't use enough training to begin with. I've had other dogs come to Camp Good Dog with Citron collars that they don't wear here, but wear at home where the owners say it works great. So probably they did the training. Now, I don't know, though. Have you had any experience with these collars? If someone... And this is the case of one person who listens to the show. They want to put it all together. They want a collar that will let their pet in and out the door, and only their pet, that will GPS. If their pet goes missing, they can track it. Now, that's easy. That's just a pin you can stick on there. But that's what they want. And they want bark deterrence. Is there something out there for them that's affordable and works and doesn't cost a fortune to get the refills? Well, if you know of it, please, please... Deb at PetLifeRadio.com. Tell me all about it. I might even invite you on the show. In fact, if you've got a question about cats or dogs or a problem or an issue or something you want to talk about on this show, please, you can send me a voice clip, Deb at PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll play it. Or you can send me a text or an email, or you can ask to come on the show and we'll book a time when we can do your interview that'll work for you. All you have to do is have a computer. We can do it that way. And, or even just a cell phone, we could do it. So I'd love to have your feedback. Love to have you on the show with anything at all. All right, we're going to get to the second break and come back and talk a little bit about cats on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and as I'm saying, we're going to talk about cats. I have a cat, Ming Ming, who's about, I am 14 now, I think, I'm not even sure, and she's rubbing up against the microphone, so you might hear Ming Ming. She's got her tail arcing, and the end of it keeps gently touching me, which is a sign of cat friendship. If you look at two cats greeting each other who like each other, they let their tails just gently touch. And sometimes they'll curl their tail, most of the time, gentle curl at the very end. And it's almost like they hook, almost like two people locking fingers. It's so cute. And sometimes when they do it, the tip touches and it actually makes a heart. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what Ming Ming's doing to me. And she's standing on my notes where I want to read something. So here we go. I'm going to try and read the taming process. This is what you need to know about feral kittens. Have you ever wondered how they get those cats that are like you need hockey gloves to handle? They basically think of every human as a predator, and they hiss, and they've never been socialized at all. Well, this is how we do it in Trap, Neuter, and Rescue. We start, first step, initial containment in a cage. You have to do that. Now, some people adopt a rescue cat that's shy and they let it go in a big house and they don't see it again. And it's forever known as the shy cat, or where's the cat, or I don't know if I still have a cat, or the aloof cat. Well, that's just because you didn't let it get used to you in the beginning. And then it learned that avoiding you was the way to survive. So instead, containment in a cage is number one. And then you do periodic, so every so often, but regular. So you don't skip 5 days and then go try and touch it. Every so often, a few times a day at least, brief, and I mean brief, couple minutes max, set a timer. If you're in there more than 5 minutes, it's too much. Brief handling with a protective blanket or towel, and you may need helpers. And you don't want to be doing this unprotected. So this isn't the thing you do in a bathing suit or shorts and a t-shirt, no matter how hot it is. You need thick pants, thick socks, because if the cat gets scared and it clings and puts those claws out, you want to be protected. So thick, heavy blanket or towel, and you're just teaching it that human touch is okay. that it's safe with you. Few minutes and back in the cage. Okay. Number three, once your cat has passed those two stages and it actually likes it when you take it out and you're cuddling it and it wants the brief handling, it wants more and it doesn't stiffen up and it's not clawing at you and it's not getting aggressive anymore and it's like, oh, take me out, take me out, and you pick it up and you put it in for your periodic cuddling and it's all for it. Okay, now you're ready for containment in a small room. That's stage three. So you put it in a small room with the litter box and the food and the water and maybe a cat bed, but not too many other things and certainly no other animals. And you come in and you keep up the brief handling. You keep up the affection. You don't leave the food. You make sure you're there when you're putting the food out so the cat comes over for attention for food. Okay, now you're ready for stage four. Stage four is exposure to other humans. So the easiest way for your cat to deal with this is if one human at a time, especially with kids, one at a time and calmly, comes into the space and sits down and let the cat come to them. If the cat comes to you, you can sit beside that person and they can stroke it while you hold it. You may need the blanket and the towel. You may have to start over with this, but that's how you would do it. And then finally, what we do is we place the cat in an adoptive home. And that's usually once the kitten can handle new people coming into the room and petting it, can be passed back and forth, isn't trying to hide, isn't clawing at us anymore, comes to its name or kitten, kitten, kitten or something like that, and is using the litter box, eating and drinking normally. Now it's ready to go. Why don't we wait longer? Because we want it to really, really bond with the new environment, the new people, to know its new place as much as possible. So that's what we do. And that's how you get a new kitten to like people. All right, everybody. Hopefully there won't be too many feral cats this year as we approach spring. And hopefully you'll all be spaying and neutering your cats, so we'll have less and less every year. Less and less cats out there in the wild fending for themselves, feeding the coyotes. Okay, everybody. So thanks for listening today. If any of you know Keanu Reeves, I am looking for him. I want him on my show. I want him to talk about dog rescue. So if you can get that message through, Keanu, from one Canadian to another, come on Animal Party, let's chat. All right, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, ciao meow, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.